Especially music. Well, I know that we are several weeks in, but I'd like to say congratulations. You have made it to the year 2021. You know, the year 2020 was by most accounts a uniquely challenging year for everyone. We experienced a host of challenges over the course of this past year that were disruptive to our normal lives. In the first few days of March of last year, Nashville was hit with a tornado that ripped through the downtown area, destroying homes and businesses, and disrupted the lives of many surrounding communities with power outages and temporary loss of basic services. Phones, internet, cable were all out of service for a considerable amount of time. That same month, many began to see the initial impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. And with a host of challenges, restrictions, and inconveniences, this too began to invade our lives. Limited access to bars, restaurants, some retail stores, and other fun places have not been too much of a distraction for me. But then again, I'm not known for being up past dark. So me and Angie go to bed pretty early. So. I would say that Lowe's has been open and Sam's Club has been open, and that's about the extent of the places we visit, so we've been doing okay. Limited in-person contact with family, friends, and even coworkers has been something that I have disliked a lot over the past year. Working from home is nice, but it's nice to be around people. A halt to in-person church services, a virtual Passover service, and the spring holidays were all challenges this past year. I'm glad that we are currently able to meet in person, even with the social distancing and the mask and the other restrictions that are still considered to be the overall best practices right now. Elbow and fist bumps are just not the same when you're assembling with a group of huggers like we all are. I really appreciate how the leadership of the church has cared for all of us during these past months, and the concern that they've had throughout the past year of crisis. It was so great to have the opportunity to connect for services each week and the holy days when stronger restrictions were in place. In Nashville, and even more so in some of the larger cities across the United States, we all saw the rioting and unrest that took place in the name of social justice this past year, during the summer. Some people were perhaps fighting for a cause they believed in, but it seems that too many were taking advantage and seemingly unconcerned about the effect that their actions were going to have on the rest of us. Several weeks ago now, Nashville was rocked by an explosion in one of the older districts of downtown. You may have heard about that. There were at least 41 buildings that had some damage, and many additional buildings were forced to close, including the building where my office is located. The AT&T building was hit, and it caused a disruption to security and safety systems, including 911 centers in several states. There were just a couple of injuries and only one death believed to be the bomber himself, and authorities are still trying to determine what the motive and cause was behind it. Other cities across the country experienced major disruptions to normal life this year as well, many much worse than what we have seen locally. How about this past election cycle and politics in general? Some time ago, our nation was, and the world, witnessed a sad indication of just how divided we are as a people. Chaos at the nation's capital. Just like the riots witnessed this past summer, we saw a sad display of human beings losing control and acting out. These types of scenes are becoming all too common, and it seems like some are just wanting an opportunity to act out. Mr. Franks mentioned in a special edition member letter last month how decisive the political climate has become, and a reminder that we should not be participants. One of the most recent polling data results puts the approval rating of the U.S. Congress at 23%. It's probably lower than that now. The study indicated that Americans tend to see Congress as a group of ineffectual politicians who are out of touch with their constituents. And that seems about right. I'm reminded of what it says in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, that it is not in man to direct his own steps. Since Adam and Eve, history has proven that humans cannot rule successfully without God. There have been many other challenges that had to be faced this past year, many of which may have only been known to you and your family. We are about 6 weeks into 2021. Will this be a kinder year? Or will the issues of 2020 linger on, and will we have similar types of challenges to face? January 2021 seemed to hold on to some of those 2020 troubles. But I hope not. I hope that this year is great for everyone. When my grandson, Ryder Sy, who is almost 4 years old, asked the blessing over a meal, as he did last night, he normally asks God to take the virus away and bring about peace and happiness. We know that God will answer that prayer, and we hope that it's very soon. You should also note that in recent weeks, when Ryder asked the prayer, he's asking for God to bring back the big cats of the wild when the kingdom is here. So if you're in the market for a big cat, hold on. Maybe Ryder's prayer will be answered and he can hook you up. If you believe that we should shake off the year 2020 and perhaps the first few weeks of 2021 and just move on and just look ahead to our future, well, you're exactly right. If you have been attending God's church for even a short period of time, you have been encouraged to focus on your future. Your future in the kingdom of God that will be established by the return of Jesus Christ. You have been, will be, and will be encouraged to prepare for your role in that kingdom. What does this have to do with the challenges that we have been presented with this past year and that will undoubtedly be presented to us in the future? Well, the challenges that we face in life are part of our training for our role in the kingdom of God. And how we handle what is presented to us along the way, well, it matters. I found a quote from an unknown author on the internet. And if it's on the internet, it's probably true. So I agree with Mr. Gines on that. But I thought it was interesting. It said this: every obstacle presents an opportunity to improve our condition. End quote. Every obstacle presents an opportunity to improve our condition. When you received your calling from God and you responded to it, you were not promised a hassle-free life. You were promised an inheritance and all the help you would need along the way, but there is some bumps along the way. We've seen that this past year. We experience trials from time to time, and some of them are heavy, and they're not easily removed. How do we choose to handle the obstacles that are presented to us? Do we take the approach that all difficulties that we face, big or small, are opportunities for improvement of our condition? It really comes down to this: our attitude. Our attitude is so important and is often the key factor to determine our success. So our attitude matters. It's hard to believe, but we are just a few weeks away from the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. One of the things that I like to consider each year as the Passover gets close is my attitude. And with so much going on this past year, I've been considering, how have I handled that? How will I handle what 2021 has to offer? How I handle the challenges that I face matters, and it matters a lot. I'd like to use the balance of my time this afternoon and talk about attitude. If you take notes or would like a title, I put in my notes, "Your attitude matters." Your attitude matters. Attitude can be defined in several ways. For example, the Merriam-Webster's dictionary says that attitude can be defined as a mental position with regard to a fact or state, such as a helpful attitude, or we might say a helpful state of mind. It can also be a feeling or emotion toward a fact or state, such as a negative attitude or perhaps an optimistic attitude. When discussing the topic of attitude, we need to recognize the difference between a particular mood we might be in versus an attitude we might have towards someone or something. A mood is sudden. It's emotional. It is usually temporary, hopefully, and it can be a reaction to a situation that is unexpected. Say someone cuts you off in traffic or any number of annoying things that people can do. This can create a mood, a temporary state of mind or feeling. It can cause a reaction that you will get over in due time. If you receive bad news, you don't feel great or are under a lot of stress, a mood can develop that hopefully has a shelf life. You will move on as the situation moves on. You and I are to be developing the attribute of self-control, a part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, so hopefully we are not prone to flying off the handle when an inconvenience comes our way. Remaining calm, avoiding an overreaction in a stressful situation is the better way for everyone involved. But it does happen. Some people. We all know people that just can get on your last nerve, can't they? Hopefully you and I aren't those people. We can temporarily react to something that changes our mood. We can be bothered, annoyed, or put off by people or situations that cause us to shrug our shoulders and just wonder why. Why did that happen? Have you ever said to yourself, really? What were they thinking? Why did they do that? Who died and made them the boss? Some people have a knack for annoying others and setting the stage for a sudden mood change. An attitude, however, is something that has settled in. It is a viewpoint or school of thought that has developed over time. Over time, our attitudes, those that are settled in, are an important part of who and what we are becoming. Here's another definition of attitude that speaks to this. Attitude is a predisposition or a tendency to respond positively or negatively toward a certain idea, object, person, or situation. Attitude influences an individual's choice of action and responses to challenges, incentives, and rewards. Have you ever heard the phrase or ever been told that you are set in your ways? I have. Attitudes can lock us down and make us set in our ways. This can be a good thing, or this can be not so much a good thing. Depends on where the attitude got its roots and where the direction is heading. But today we are focusing on the bad attitudes, the ones that are settled in and are having a negative impact on our spiritual development. What bad attitudes do you have that have been allowed to hang around too long and have settled in? Can you identify them in yourself? Can you discern when a bad attitude is present? If you can, how did you get it? Where did it come from, and how do you get rid of it? What is keeping you and me from letting a bad attitude go? Well, I hope during the message today we'll find answers to these questions. Attitudes can show up in human beings in a variety of ways, and sadly, they have been showing up since the creation of man. Let's turn for our first scripture to Romans chapter 1. Paul is encouraging the called out ones in Rome to remain faithful and avoid the bad attitudes that some in the midst had helped or had allowed to develop. He reminds them of God's greatness, his way of life, and his attributes that are clearly on display for all to see by the things that he made. But historically, man has chosen to follow a different path. Paul has several bad attitudes, those thought processes put into action, shown to be present in his day and continue to plague society today. Romans 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their hearts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, the birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Verse 24. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Notice in verse 21 that man had become futile in their thoughts and foolish in their hearts. Futile is defined as incapable of producing any useful result. Pointless. This is an indication that bad attitudes begin in our hearts and in our minds. They begin in our thoughts. Let's keep me down to verse 28. It says that even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers. Backbiters, haters of God, proud, boasters, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Verse 32, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only to the same, but also approve of those who practice them. This is a big push in our society today, isn't it? Even if you do not participate or practice in the evil behaviors that are gaining popularity, you are expected to support them, even approve of what others do. If you don't, you're considered backward, uneducated. You are a hater, lacking in compassion of others that are living a lifestyle that is free of any sense of moral restraint. We could add anger, negativity, self-serving, lack of respect, complaining, and lack of patience to this list. The Bible warns us against these and many more. These are all really bad attitudes. They are thoughts that have settled in and are revealed through behaviors and actions. In Galatians chapter 5, some of these bad attitudes that can become part of man's character are repeated, and some more are added, and we will see a warning for anyone who allows these thoughts and actions to settle in. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Galatians 5, verse 19, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, we just read in Romans chapter 1 and verse 32 that anyone who practices such things is deserving of death. That's incredibly strong language and language that we should take note of. Now, I'm sure that many of the bad attitudes that contribute to the bad behaviors listed in these verses are not a problem for those in this room. But on some level, some could be, and perhaps we have justified their existence in our minds for one reason or another. We all come from different backgrounds and are affected by what we have seen and been through in life. The obstacles that you have faced in your life along the way are not going to be exactly the same as to any other person in the room. All human beings have faced obstacles or life challenges that have tested their attitudes. Sometimes we handle them well, and sometimes we don't handle them so well. There are plenty of examples recorded in the Bible of both good and bad attitudes. Let's review some examples that have been recorded for us to learn from. Let's start with the best attitude. The best example for us and the one that we should be striving to emulate in all areas of our lives. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Got that reversed. Philippians 2, verse 1. It says, therefore, is there any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Skipping down to verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus set the example of what our attitude should look like. He was humble. He had genuine love for others. He had affection and mercy. He was obedient to God's way completely. He never allowed himself to develop an attitude that was not built on the principles of God's way, of God's truth. Now, some of the examples of attitudes that we find recorded for us to learn from did not follow the example of Jesus Christ, and they suffered the consequences. We all know the account recorded in Genesis of Satan's bad attitude on display to Adam and Eve. Satan had a bad attitude, one that had settled in for quite some time. Like all bad attitudes since, this one started in Satan's heart, in his mind. He had an attitude against God and his authority over him. He felt that he had been mistreated and disrespected. He was envious of God, and his pride got the best of him. It appears that he feels his actions then and now is justified. We are told that iniquity was found in his heart, and you know the rest. He lied to the first humans and convinced them to step off the path that God had set before them. Satan is the author of bad attitudes, and he has continued throughout time to push his thought processes, his attitudes, to the rest of the world. Satan has had a lot of success. However, we know that his time is limited, and his influence will soon go away. It's also the story of Job. The story of his life is familiar to all of us. Job was righteous and had found favor in the sight of God. Job had been blessed in many ways. Job was a rich guy. Let's read a little bit about his story in Job chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 1. Job 1, verse 1. It says, there was a wise man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. Job was living his best life. He had a large, thriving family, material wealth, and honor and prestige in the community. When the author of Bad Attitudes, Satan the Devil, enters the story, we see more of Satan's bad attitude on display as he tries to push Job into developing one of his own. God allowed Satan to test Job, and Satan didn't hesitate. Job lost his family, his property, his wealth. And what was his response? Well, in Job chapter 1, in verse 20, it says, then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Satan continued to work on Job in an effort to change his attitude to be like his. He was allowed to attack his health and to use his family that he had left and his friends to help his cause. In the chapters that follow, we see that Job's countenance fell. His mood was pulled into one of despair and regret, yet through it all, he never turned from God. He did not allow Satan to win. And this is a huge lesson for all of us. We should never give up, no matter what trial we are experiencing. Job learned some things about himself, and in the process, and God blessed him again with family, health, and wealth once he had learned what God needed for him to learn. But Satan remained unrepentant and unchanged. Satan is the ultimate cynic. Remember his comments to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That's in Genesis 3 and verse 1. You will not surely die. Find that in Genesis 3 and verse 4. God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That's in Genesis 3 and verse 5. A cynic is a person who believes that people are motivated purely by self-interest rather than acting for honorable or unselfish reasons. As they say, misery loves company. And Satan, with regard to Job, wanted to prove that Job was just like him. He failed, and Job's story is a great lesson for us to take to heart. We're also familiar with the attitudes of the children of Israel throughout their recorded history. As mentioned, attitudes can develop and take on many forms. The Israelites were known for complaining. Complaining is very much a bad attitude. Let's see a couple of examples in the book of Numbers where we will find that the chosen nation of Israel, or the chosen nation of God, showed their attitude. We will see that the children of Israel complained, they grumbled, they murmured, and we will see God's reaction to their attitude. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. So the people complained. Their complaining was heard by the Lord and was displeasing to him, so much so that he was ready to silence those that complain. We can sometimes relate to this. If you and I are around someone who's a constant complainer, we want them to zip it, just to be quiet. We should probably think about that if we catch ourselves in complaint mode. Whether it is a passing mood or an attitude that is settled in, no one likes a complainer. In verse 2, Moses prays for mercy and the fire was quenched. So it's nice. The situation is under control. The people have learned their lesson and all is good. Well, not exactly. Sadly, as we read on, we see that the complaining continued. In verse 4 of Numbers chapter 11, it says, now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? Verse 5, we remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. The next few verses in Numbers chapter 11 show how their food was received and processed, but they wanted more. It says they yielded to an intense craving for meat, and they longed for the variety of foods that they used to have back in the day. They lusted after meat and complained till they got it. Their attitude indicates that they felt entitled to more. They expected to be given a higher standard of living than they were getting. You know, it's easy for us to read this example and look down on this behavior, but this thought process, this attitude of entitlement, is very much a part of our society today. Have any of us ever had an attitude about our lot in life? How is our attitude towards the blessings that we have been given? Do you or I ever think that we deserve a better job, a better house, a nicer car, better health, more of this and more of that? Are we envious of anyone that does have these things? Complaining is an attitude that we should always strive to recognize in ourselves and promptly remove. You know, another example of this behavior by the children of Israel can be found in Numbers chapter 20. It is more of the same, it's complaining, but I'd like to focus a little on Moses' attitude and how he handled it. As we read a little bit about this story, we will see that Moses does something that is not pleasing to God. Based on what is given in this account, I wonder if Moses is having a temporary mood change, or is there a level of frustration that had been hanging around for a while? Was it an attitude that was allowed to settle in over time? Numbers chapter 20 and verse 1. Numbers 20 and verse 1, it says, then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, "If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our animals should die there?" Continuing in verse 5, it says, "And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink." So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly of the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. So again, there is an attitude among the people that, and they complain. Indirectly, they are blaming God for their perceived mistreatment, but they seem to have enough restraint not to say so directly. Instead, they blame Moses. They say, "You, Moses, forced us out of Egypt, and you, Moses, brought us to this place in this condition." Continuing in verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals.' So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him." Verse 10, "And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, 'Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?' Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank." You can just feel the frustration that Moses had, and given the history of bad attitudes among the people, one might could understand why he had had enough at that moment. But God didn't see it that way, did he? Moses and Aaron were leaders among the congregation, and expectations for them were very high. Another good lesson for us: as a leader in your family, your work, your neighborhood, your school, your church, and any other place where you can be an example and an influence on others, your attitude, my attitude, it matters. Your attitude matters as a member of the body of Christ, and you and I are held to a higher standard. Though Moses was not permitted to bring the assembly into the promised land himself, and just like we saw earlier with the story of Job, he did not turn from God or God's way of life. As we have seen and what we have covered already, all attitudes, both good ones and bad ones, have something in common with each other. They start in our thoughts, and for those that are allowed to hang around, they settle into our hearts. Bad attitudes in particular have something else in common among all its various forms. From complaining to envy to hatred and all the rest, there is a common thread that is shared by all. All bad attitudes are contrary to God's way of living. They are opposite of the truth, and they are all built on a lie. Our great adversary, Satan the devil, is the father of lies and the originator of bad attitudes. John chapter 8 and verse 44. John chapter 8 and verse 44, it says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Satan has been broadcasting lies from the beginning to influence the minds of man to walk contrary to God's will. It's important that we understand what our attitudes really are and where they ultimately come from. A bad attitude, at the very heart of it, is a lie, and Satan is the author of all lies. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. It says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Satan wants all of us to live a lie, to disregard the truth of God by convincing us that his way is better, that the works of the flesh are good, and that the way of the Spirit of God is bad. Satan desperately wants us to believe the lie and let it settle into our hearts and minds. We are encouraged in 2 Thessalonians not to buy into this counterfeit way of life. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1. It says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you, do not be soon shaken in mind or trouble, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, and that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Skipping down to verse 7. "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with his breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders." Continuing verse 10, it says, "And with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, and that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Bad attitudes keep us from walking in light. They keep us from the truth and the benefits of fully living God's way. Take any bad attitude and put it to a lie test. Contrast the bad attitude with God's word. How about envy? Are you really entitled to the blessings of others? Galatians 5, verse 26. "Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Also, it says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30, "A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones." If you think, or if I think, that we are entitled to be envious of others, well, we're lying to ourselves. How about an attitude of selfishness? Are you and I really allowed to look out for our own interest and not the needs of others? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Philippians 2 and verse 3, it says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." If you think, or I think, that an attitude of selfishness is okay, well, again, we're just lying to ourselves. How about hatred towards someone? Can you or I really justify hating? Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28. Luke chapter 6 and verse 27, it says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you." Also in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 24, Proverbs 26 and verse 24, it says, "He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself." If you or I think that a well-deserved exemption from the requirement to love rather than hate is okay, well, again, we're just lying to ourselves. How do we keep from getting or letting a bad attitude settle in? I have a few suggestions that I would like to offer that I hope will be helpful in keeping an attitude from settling in. These suggestions are intended to help us to also remove any bad attitudes that may have already settled in. The last time that Angie and I were in Dallas, which is about a year and a half ago, I guess, we went to visit the Beach family out there. Mr. Andy Burnett, the pastor, gave a sermon, and I'm using a couple of his points in the message today, so he should get credit for that. It's funny, when I gave this sermon in Nashville, my daughter, Amy, was trying to pick out, there's five suggestions, and she was trying to pick out which ones were I borrowed or stole, depending on how you look at it. She picked out the two best ones that she thought of was his, not mine. So I won't tell you which ones they are. But anyway, now, these, by the way, are not intended to be helpful hints to cure someone else's attitude, such as your spouse, a coworker, or a friend, or a neighbor. These would be more helpful if you will apply them directly to yourself, and if I will apply them directly to myself. The first suggestion is this: put a name on it. Put a name on it. Okay, that's one I borrowed because I really like this one. When we recognize that we have allowed our attitude to start, or worse, we have allowed one to settle in, we should call it what it is. We should put a name on it. I am being envious. I am being selfish. I have hate in my heart towards that person or towards those people. When we put a name on it, we can acknowledge where the attitude really came from. We can see that it is the attitude of Satan, the deceiver and the author of lies. By exposing the attitude for what it really is, we can see that it is in conflict with the truth, and we can see how it is tarnishing our relationship with God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Beginning in verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 8. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Bad attitudes are unfruitful works of darkness and need to be confronted and exposed for what they really are. Verses 13 and 14 add this: "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore," he says, "awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." When we put a name on it and put it up against the bright light of God's truth revealed to us through his Spirit, it will help us to keep a bad attitude from settling in, and it will help us to remove one that has already settled in. The second suggestion is this: take control of your thoughts. Take control of your thoughts. We have discussed that attitudes begin in our minds. If we have control over our thoughts, we can control what is allowed in, and we can stop them from getting comfortable and settling into our hearts. The Apostle Paul tells us that we are fighting a spiritual war, and that we must take control of our thoughts in order to keep all disobedience away. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." Verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Controlling every single thought, bringing each and every thought into captivity, is no easy task. We all know that. But it is something that we should strive to do, since it is the battleground for the spiritual war that has been waged against us. When we take control of our thoughts, it will help us to keep a bad attitude, really a form of disobedience, from settling in. And it will help us to remove one that has already settled in. Third suggestion goes right along with the second, and it is this: hit the pause button. Hit the pause button. One of the attributes of the Holy Spirit that we are to be developing is long-suffering or patience. When one of those heavy challenges fall within our path, a very practical and effective thing we can do is to just take a breath. Step back and give ourselves a minute to think about what is happening, some time to gather some facts before we react in a way that might not be appropriate. James chapter 1 and verse 19, it's a very familiar verse to us. James chapter 1 and verse 19 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." These verses describe to me the blueprint for an attitude that can settle in on us. Too often we hear about something or something that has caused us to be wrong. It could be something real or it could be something imagined. We immediately begin to speak about it to those who will listen, and we gather an emotion or generate an emotion of anger or wrath. It starts in our mind and can quickly become an attitude if we let it develop and hang around. There is value in just chilling out for some time until the facts are revealed and an appropriate response, a godly response, can be given. Sometimes just letting it go with no response at all is probably the best course of action. When we hit the pause button, it will help us to keep a bad attitude from settling in, and it will help us to remove one that has already settled in. The fourth suggestion is this: meditate on the opposite. Meditate on the opposite. If you or I were to discern an attitude of hatred within ourselves, we could go to the Word of God and study the important attribute of love. Heard about that in the sermonette today. Love is the opposite of hate. If you find an attitude of vanity within ourselves, within yourself or myself, we could again go to the Word of God and study the important attribute of humility. It is important that we identify and remove attitudes that are having a negative effect on our spiritual health and our relationship with God. We need to remove them and fill that space with those attributes found in the commandments, the judgments, and principles that God has given us in His Word. If you and I can meditate on the opposite, we can eliminate the wrong attitudes or the wrong attributes that a bad attitude can bring and replace them with the attributes of God's righteous character. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Another very familiar verse, I'm sure, to all of us, but Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Bad attitudes are the exact opposite of things that are noble, just, and pure. We should be filling our minds with things of virtue, with a special focus on any praiseworthy things that are opposite of any bad attitudes that we might have. When we meditate on the opposite, it will help us to keep a bad attitude from settling in, and it will help us to remove one that has already settled in. The fifth and final suggestion that I have is take it to God. Take it to God. You and I are given some amazing promises as a result of our response to our calling from the great Almighty God. Here are a few that stand out to me. Being confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's found in Philippians 1 and verse 6. "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." found in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. That's found in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. Our Creator wants to have an active relationship with us, and he has declared to us over and over that He will provide all that we need. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. We read from this chapter a minute ago. I'd like to read two final verses from this book and chapter in closing. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." When we see that we are struggling with a bad mood that is hanging around much longer than it should be, when we see an attitude that has settled in and is affecting our behaviors and actions in a way that is not producing the right results, we can take the situation to God, who has promised to help. When we take it to God, He will provide the help that is needed. And if we do take it to God, we can keep a bad attitude from settling it in, and we can remove one that has already settled in. In this life, we all have obstacles in our paths. We all have challenges that will come our way. Certainly last year was a lot more challenges than most of us would care for. Many of them are small inconveniences, though, that can be easily removed, but sometimes they're more difficult to get pushed out of our way. And again, the year 2020 had its share of challenges that have, in one way or another, affected all of us. Some of the fallout of last year's troubles may continue for a while, hopefully not too long. But as the quote we read earlier states, every obstacle presents an opportunity to improve one's condition. As a Christian, we might say it this way: every obstacle presents an opportunity for continued improvement to our spiritual condition. How we handle the challenges that will be coming our way this year is most important, and as we have discussed this afternoon, it really comes down to our attitude. So, congratulations for making it to the year 2021. I hope the message today encourages all of us to remember exactly why our attitude matters.